Good evening, everybody. Joining me tonight is J.D. Walsh. This is my sports radio and talk show, Woo, live from the station on Stowe Street, WDEV, FM and AM. How are you tonight, J.D.?
Everything is lovely. I'm in the middle of New York City on a beautiful sunrise, talking to you from the Soho House.
You can't go wrong with that. This is JD from JDBasketball.com, and you do a lot with the sport of basketball over in India, and I see that this was founded in 1998. What made you think about taking this great sport of round ball over to India?
It's a great question, and it's funny. And when I'm in India and I'm asking people what do they think about India and India basketball, they ask if I'm serious. What am I really doing here? Basically, I think a pioneer going into China in 2001. I founded co-founded a company called Sino American International Sport, and we had an agreement with the Chinese Basketball Association to foster cross-cultural exchange through basketball. From that experience, I started branching out in other parts of the world, and we had some success there, and started looking at some other markets. I was asked in early 2007 if I'd work with an orphanage in Kashmir, in Srinagar, called Chinar. That's how it started. And I had gone to India on that first premise of working this social program, aiding in the psycho rehabilitation of these orphan youth. I have like 22 kids in Kashmir, India. And got off the plane and really fell in love with the place.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. Could you just back up and share with our Radio Vermont listeners where it is you grew up and what is it about basketball that set it apart from other sports?
Well, the thing about me, I've been a basketball and a hoops junkie since I was a kid. My dad was a well-known high school coach in Long Island. He coached two great All-Americans who played in North Carolina. So we had a lot of those college coaches coming in and out of the house, and there's some divinity behind this life because I'm 6'8" and my dad's like 5'9", my mom's 5'4", so clearly there was something destined to play. I got a scholarship to play at the University of Maryland. I had a couple of good years there, and played on the ACC All-Star team in '94. It was one of the highlights of my basketball career. I played short time in Ireland. It's really semi-professional basketball back then. The EuroLeague hadn't really taken off, and after a short year on Wall Street, I started coaching.
And with coaching, I know that for myself, you can teach a lot of life skills to students and adults alike through using a sport, a piece of leather filled with air. What are some of the best attributes you think the game of basketball or sports in general teaches youngsters?
For me, I think I was always one of those kids. It took a long time for me to make connection with events that were going on and the meaning and purpose from behind them. So I knew that I learned a lot more about life on a basketball court than I did in a classroom growing up. So I founded the basketball school in '98 on the premise of just developing kids and their basketball skills. And I realized that there's a connection on what we were doing on the court and how to teach them about teamwork and good eating habits and healthy lifestyles and these sort of things. And as the program grew, so did the mission, and I was able to reach out to several of the top social educators in my community and global community once the internet really started growing. And I would just add things to my camps and my programs, and started slowly in a small gym in Long Island with maybe 10 kindergartners, and then I think by the time it was in 2000, early 2000s, had almost 800 to 1,000 kids a year. Wow. And in like 7-8 sites from New York out to Long Island.
And this is John David Walsh. You can find him at jdbasketball.com. There's also a link on my blog, beinteresting.blogspot.com. The letter B, the word interesting.blogspot.com. Interestingly, you say that. I just put on my first basketball clinic, player development. We had 3 junior high students and 4 senior high. And so I guess I'm certainly hopeful on what can happen if you're focused and you do it the right way. as is very evident, you do focus on doing it the right way. As I looked online, researched some more about you, I see that you were in Slam Magazine. The title of the article was Breaking Old Habits, and that's also posted on Slam Online. Could you just talk about what it's meant to you to be featured in these magazines like Slam and just share your story?
It's funny. The Slam Magazine article has brought a lot of interest. There's been 3 years, really, if you go back even to China, of 8-9 years of getting a lot of attention. And it's nice. I didn't realize in Slam that the gentleman had come. He had just come to meet me, and I knew he was a writer for Slam, but he didn't really mention we were going to do a story on me. I was actually surprised when it came out, but it was a nice depiction of the past 3 years and what I've been doing in India. And I think it's nice to be part of that legacy. I mean, you're on this planet and you want to do some good. It's nice to be part of something a lot greater than yourself. And you're talking about India and the bare grassroots basketball probably on the planet. It's nice to play a part in that history. So the fact that it's documented is nice.
And J.D. Walsh joining the program, jdbasketball.com. You can find more information about what John David is involved in. Who are the biggest influences in your life that kind of shaped your worldview and your moral compass, so to speak, where now you are helping thousands, if not soon to be millions of people, as one student you may coach will reach out another and another and multiply in that fashion? Who were the key contributors in developing you as a man and as a person?
I mean, absolutely. My father and my parents would play a huge role, always having my back. Other folks were Jerry Quinn, who's probably one of the top basketball coaches in America, was my high school coach in Oakdale, Connecticut at St. Thomas More School. Every year he's one of the top coaches. Just keeping things very, very centered. As far as the business goes, the gentleman named Dominic Chang, who was one of Forbes Entrepreneurs of the Year in the early 2000s, who has been a huge influence on me and my business career. I've been just lucky. I've also learned and read a lot about a lot of people and folks I haven't met, and just decided on how to be and how not to be. I learned a lot of things in both ways from my college coach, Gary Williams, who's still the coach at Maryland as well. So certainly a lot. And I have tons of heroes who I haven't met.
And who are some of those, as far as the reading that you've done, maybe not within a basketball context, but maybe a different context, that really stand out in your mind and you like how they write and how they approach life?
Well, clearly Gandhi has been a major influence for me. And just his teachings on simple nature, non-conflict, violent revolution, things like that, the power of a resisting force and the power of change in one small group and how they can affect one small passionate group and how it can affect major changes has been very, very interesting. But on the flip side, you know, like I'm an artist and looking at things from a blank canvas. So there are influencers from, you know, Basquiat and others that I'm interested in watching them on how they integrate into pop culture. I'm always getting influenced.
And again, this is J.D. Walsh joining the program tonight via the Friendly Pioneer 877. What are some of the cultural differences you've seen being over in India, as well as the different countries you've been involved from that of right here in the United States?
Culturally, wow, that's a whole week full of programming. Well, number one, you're dealing with language issues. Food is different. The way that you say something and it's understood in one place and it's understood a different way, even though you're saying the same exact thing in another region. But India, you're still looking at a developing nation. You're looking at a country of 1.3 billion people. They still talk about 100 million people who are unaccounted for. So the disparity of wealth is intense. And when you're there, you see it. And that, I think, is the stark difference between two democracies that we have and what goes on in India.
And JD, if you could just talk about, when you talk about nutrition in the United States and then you go over to India or another country, how does it differ as far as getting the correct protein intake, the carbohydrates, when you leave the comfort of the United States and go over to India?
Well, you know what, in India, I had to stop these guys. I'll give you a story. I was in Chennai one time, and these kids were taking a break, like a timeout to our clinic, and they're over on the side, and they were eating cookies and sipping chai, which is high sugar content. So it starts from there. I mean, America, you're dealing with a lot of processed foods. India is also not as healthy a lifestyle, I think, because you're dealing with a lot of fried foods. You're dealing with dosas, a lot of carbohydrates, and these kind of things. And recreation was not something that could be afforded by the masses. These people had to work, families, all day long just to be able to have a roof over their heads and these kind of things. So that's a stock contract from the U.S. I don't know for sure, but I think many of the schools do not even have recreation for the kids. It's so education focused.
And again, this is J.D. Walsh joining the program tonight, My Sports Radio and Talk Show, live each and every Sunday night, exclusively from the stations of Radio Vermont. J.D., what are some things that you've really tried to teach to the students that are first learning how to play basketball? Is it more focusing on the court vision, the dribbling, rebounding? What are some aspects of basketball that you try to teach? I imagine being 6'8", you have your favorites, as I do, being more of a shooter, but is it blocking shots, rebounding? What are some of the things that you enjoy teaching the most about this great game of basketball?
You know, the best thing about starting with, you know, 10 kindergartners in a small gym is that you have to learn how to really communicate and teach the game from the ground up, which means the rules first. Even in India, they don't know the rules of the game. So that's the first step. And then teaching people how to run properly, how to catch, how to shoot the ball properly, and then you can start talking about how to go one-on-one, how to go to three-on-three set to a five-on-five set. But very, very basics.
And if you wouldn't mind,
that we start with. I mean, stationary ball handling all the way to moving and passing. But then we can get into some shooting and rebounding and things like that.
And if you wouldn't mind, you talked a little bit before about the traveling that you do. What is that like for you, and how many days a year are you gone on the road, so to speak?
I'm pretty much gone, I would say, 7 to 9 months a year at this point. And commuting from Mumbai to New York has definitely been a challenge, but I love it. So it's just kind of part of the ride. And
I'm sorry, JD, I was just going to say that I've noticed that you've received some grants from some major athletic companies. What does it feel like to you as far as success, being successful, knowing that you're networking with other major companies to bring this great game and incredible life lessons to the people of India as well as to the other countries that JD Basketball is a part of?
Well, the fact is, you know, running these programs does cost, does require a cost. So we're working with a lot of these corporate social responsibility projects from a lot of these multinational corps that want to make change in their local communities. I've been fortunate now, not only with some of these major corporations, but also with the U.S. Department of State. And I've done, five or six tours with them. Most recently, I won a large grant with the partner, George Mason University, and I'm taking 10 coaches from India, bringing them back to the U.S. to train them, and then they have to go back and sustain the program and be accountable for the teaching that we're doing, and then hopefully that helps to make the game grow. But it's always a challenge. I mean, grants are a challenge, and they're not easy. They're not easy to acquire. But you keep pushing. I was lucky to know this week that I got asked to speak at the Y2Y conference at the World Bank. So I can see that things are changing and people are starting to recognize my work. And that's a good feeling, because it's been 10 years of traveling and doing things for people to start taking notice. So It is a nice feeling.
It's interesting you say that, 10 years. I was just told that it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. So hopefully that's a sign of encouragement for you and not something that you become discouraged by the 10 years that you've put in. J.D. Walsh joining the program tonight. Again, I appreciate you coming on. And we have a few questions revolving around how can people get in contact and follow you. I understand that you do have a Twitter account. There is a blog, jdbasketball.com. How can people get involved and follow you and know exactly what it is that you're doing from day to day?
Yeah, there's a few different ways. Obviously, we do have a Twitter. It's at JD Basketball, and you mentioned the website, jdbasketball.com. There's also India Basketball, indiabasketball.wordpress.com is the other blog. And then the other best way to connect is on a Facebook fan page. It's facebook.com/jdbasketball.india. And that has a lot of photos which really tell the story of the past 3 years. If anybody wants to join in, please, love to be in conversation.
And J.D. Walsh joining the program tonight via the Friendly Pioneer 877. J.D., we thank you again for taking the time. And what would be your words of advice or encouragement that you would give to the Radio Vermont listening audience, maybe a younger student that knows they're not going to ever play professionally, maybe even not Division I, but they want to get involved and make a difference using a sport, maybe that of basketball like you have?
I think, well, there's a few different things. I know President Obama has, I think it's service.gov, which allows you to sign up online for, and maybe, it may not be service.gov, but I think it is, where you can develop your own communities locally and have your own theme on how to use sport or art or whatever your interest is to promote positive change in the community. And that's a good way to do it. And the main thing, not to sound too Hollywood-ish, is just follow your heart. I know any time I skewed off of what was in my heart, that it started to lead me in offsetting directions. And it's been an incredible ride. I don't know anyone who's had a similar sort of experience that I have, or look at the game in the way that I wanted to when I decided I didn't want to be the coach on a court, grow my status that way. That's most of my peers, guys I played with or guys who I grew up with and that pedigree, playing ACC, etc. But it's been an amazing ride, and I think anyone can do the same if they dream big and go for it.
And John David Walsh joining the program at jdbasketball.com. Hey, JD, have a great night. We wish you safe travels, as you do so much, and wish you nothing but the best. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me, and all the best, guys.